place. You want a bachelor? I'm a master, though. 17 texts in the morning. Yeah, I'm reckless on the sheets, and I play my own keys. Say you're just a producer, and my body looks right on your walls. Every time I get the offers, yeah, you want me to stall. Babe, I'm trying to do the right thing, but you're the mistake. 'Cause you just got me paralyzed. Can't help but find us where we started. I hate the way you looked at me last night. Maybe we aren't one in the same. Where are you? 'Cause it's over. I thought I'd lay it down just a little bit slower. Your old house or the studio, so much highs that you passed out. I hate this lesson and this dressing that you poured on me. Thought you were perfect from Toronto, and we met up way too weak. No. Huh. No. You say you deserve it in the morning. Want somebody to hold when the weather gets cold. Say you're just a producer. How am I supposed to say no? But every time I get them offers, yeah, you want me to stall. Babe, I'm trying to do the right thing, but you're the mistake. 'Cause you just got me paralyzed. Can't help but find us where we started. I hate the way you looked at me last night. Maybe we are one and the same.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow, I really like that song. It gives me that kind of magical feeling where I feel like I'm in the Wonderland or somewhere like that.
I love that.
Yeah, love so that. Before we get into more stories about like how did you create this thing, but I understand that you have some general philosophical thoughts that can share with people during the way, because I think a lot of people thinking that music producers or creators having glamorous life, right? But then it actually takes a lot of no and a lot of rejections during the time behind the scene. Mm-hmm. I wonder, can you share with us one specific experience that's very memorable or happened recently that you got rejected, and how did you deal with that?
You know, I have something that it's the thing about the music industry is it can be very sneaky. Mm-hmm. More than straight up. Like, you might think that straight up rejections are common. And I would say when I first started out, it definitely was. Like, when I first got into producing and when I first got into DJing, you know, you're like, let me DJ for this show or for your events or for whatever. And, you know, people don't really know your skills. So it takes a while. And it's just like getting a job, too, you know. You have a little bit of experience before you really get the ball rolling. But over time, what I found at this point, like rejection with producing, DJing, or any creative endeavors is rare. What I run into, which I would say is even more frustrating and difficult than a rejection, is kind of like getting led on. To give an example, the most recent, to keep it kind of vague, because I've kind of dealt with it a couple of times, but in the music industry, there's a lot of people. I would say almost everybody, not everyone, but a lot of people in the music industry really want that fame. Mm. The, you know, being able to perform every day, having the clout, all the things that can come with being a really successful artist.
Right.
But the problem is that only a small percentage of those people actually have the skills and the work ethic and everything it takes to get there. So what you have is people who are trying to find their way to climb up the ladder and not even really putting in the work to get there. And they believe that in order to accomplish that, if they have a team as well, it'll help them get there. So I've definitely run into people where it's, you know, they're kind of like, they're like, yeah, like we're going to be like the biggest thing at this exact thing.
And over time, you're like, you know what? At least for me, I feel like collaboration to success, like as a producer, that's what I do. I collaborate. But collaboration in a business sense, that can work for some people. I definitely have friends that are, you know, in groups, you know, and they work together cohesively and for a long time. But I found for myself, and I'm sure many other people have experienced this, where you'll have people who, you know, they propose themselves, they seem like, you know, they're going to team up with you and they'll bring you and them to great success. But in reality, they actually have zero idea what they're doing and they just want that end result. So over time, oh my God, I'm just reading this one comment. It's so funny. That's so good. But basically, you just have to kind of figure people out, you know, like if somebody tells you, even outside of music, if someone's like, yeah, like I'm going to give everything to you, you work with me and we're going to go to the top of the mountain and be the greatest, take it with a grain of salt. There's a very high chance that they have very little idea what they're doing. That's not to say those opportunities can still have meaning. You know, I have no regrets on my journey. I've learned a lot from everybody that I've worked with. But you just have to understand, at the end of the day, it's really you that has to run the business. Right. You know, collaborate, but don't ever, ever think that somebody else can run your business. That's all you. It has to come all back to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the game that we're playing, no matter if we want it or not, is that when do... it's like, it is negotiation. A lot of times people don't really understand that in those kind of interaction. It is negotiation, but it's not everybody is playing a very bright card during that negotiation process where they just... trying to use something to lure you, and then they offer a lot of things that, oh, actually there's an opportunity, there's a collaboration, this is what I can get you. But actually what they all want is using your talent, using your work and skills and the product or service to kind of take the value to them. However, they do not really provide the value. I experienced that a lot. So I think everybody who is doing sort of more or less entrepreneurial project or on this road, that you have to get business for yourself, you're negotiating with a lot of people. And then people come and go is because not necessarily a lot of them are bad people. Sometimes they just didn't make things work out and that happened too. But a lot of times it's really because, you know, like you, like I said, like you said, having the corn, yourself as the corn, understanding that we are the only one who can carry it on and people come and go. And that way we will be a lot better. So in that case, we definitely will face a lot of rejections, but a more dangerous thing is that being distracted and lured by other people.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And on the flip side, you know, when you connect with those people who really want the best for you and they have a clear vision for where they're trying to go and they know how, if you were to combine, how you could grow together, having people like that in your circle is huge. I would say I'm very grateful that I have, you know, a lot of people, singers, rappers, DJs who just want to grow and they inspire me a lot and I feel like I inspire them. Because when you have people in your life that you can just, you can trust them and you know and you see that every time you connect that you're moving forward, it just, it's so inspiring. And not only that, I think just on a human level, we all want to be surrounded by friends. You know, nobody wants to be spending their days around people who they feel like, you know, don't understand them or a difference or, you know, at worst are trying to take advantage of them. You want to be around people who are kind of like your family, you know, people that you can just be yourself and you don't have to overthink and you just feel comfortable. You feel at ease. Of course, you know, another thing with, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a business, you know, not everybody that you work with is going to be your best friend. That's just the nature of life. Some people you're just going to have a business relationship with. And that's totally cool. As long as you can come together and create, that's awesome. But I think the real magic happens when you have people that you work with and you just hit it off and, you know, whether you're actually working on a project or you're just hanging out or sending memes or whatever it is, you just have you have chemistry, and that definitely goes a long way. And I found over time, you know, the more that I do this, the more that I try to find people who are both, you know, talented and I can make great stuff with, but they're also like my friends, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, never, I would say never, like, you know, it's very gray, you know, just like life. Nothing is black and white. So even at this point, you know, I did a, I kind of did an album with this rapper. We didn't end up doing the vocals, but we did all the production together. And I would say him and I didn't feel like we had like a great chemistry. Like, he's not somebody that I would, you know, probably go on an adventure with, but the music that we made is some of the most incredible material I've ever put together. So yeah, you never know. But overall, if you have those friends who are also your collaborators, your coworkers, that's huge.
I think you mentioned a great point, where is that being able to differentiate people, right? Being able to understand who is the one you possibly can make genuine connection, who are the one you can work with, but not necessarily be close friends with,
yeah.
And who are the one who just come and lure you or trick you.
Mm-hmm.
So could you share a little bit about the if there's a strategy or a methodology or lessons from your real experiences of how, is there any signs or signals to help us to differentiate those group of people?
Sure, I'll start with the negative side and then work my way up to the positive.
Great.
So if we're starting with, you know, the most negative, which is people who, you know, just want to take advantage of your talents. The key with that is if somebody ever comes into your life and you haven't known them for very long, and they're like, yo, we're gonna do this crazy thing and that thing, and I'll do this for you, and we can do that, and it's just like huge, and it seems too good to be true. That is a huge red flag when that pops up.
Right.
Most of the time, when someone's bringing that type of energy, it's gonna be that type of situation. It can even be a little bit smoother, like, you know, not necessarily as big, but like, oh yeah, like, you know, you and I, like, we have great chemistry, we're gonna start a label. When people bring that energy right off the get-go and they're really serious about it, that's a huge red flag. Other than that, you just kind of have to, like, you know, spend time with people, and that's when you really see. But in terms of those people, it's kind of obvious. I mean, me, before, a couple years ago, you know, I fell for it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm like, this is the person. But I don't even think that again, that person exists. So that's that type. And then business people, I mean, you know, as a creative, you want to work with other people who, for me, I'm always looking for singers and rappers and anybody that can do cool vocals.
Right.
So I go to a lot of like ciphers and events, and if I see somebody perform and they sound great, or even if I'm on Instagram and I hear somebody, I'm like, okay, like, this person has a great voice, they have an awesome flow, I love to work with them. In terms of, you know, whether that's going to be your business partner or your friend, again, it's just a time thing. You know, so like the rapper I mentioned before, we had about 4 or 5 sessions, and every session we were super productive. We would take breaks, you know, go to my balcony and smoke a little bit, hang out, you know, just catch a vibe. But I never felt like there was an energy where I'd be like, hey, bro, what are you doing tomorrow? You want to go to the arcade? Versus there's this one rapper I'm working with, Tayo, very talented rapper, MC. He was just in Japan for a while. Just got back, so we had a session. But he's like, you know, he's so awesome to work with, but he's like a homie. I remember when I saw him perform at this event on Granville Street. I think it was at Cabana. I got there before him, and when he pulled up, he introduced like all of his friends to me, and they were like so excited to meet me, like 7 of his good homies. So you just know, it just clicks, and you can just talk to somebody, and you can joke about stuff. So it's just really, yeah, just being a human being and just giving things time. Nothing can replace time and intuition and your heart.
Right.
And that's when you know things will click. If somebody's, you know, kind of sus, you'll know. If somebody's just business, you'll figure it out. If somebody's gonna be your homie, you'll definitely know.
Right. I think what I heard, there are like 2 points are very important. The first is that you do have to spend some time with people, right? Like you have to spend some time, maybe started with small project or maybe some hangout, and then you get a little bit idea of how the conversation goes, how this person talk, right? Because I also met a lot of people. They act nice, they talk very friendly, but you kind of can feel there's a little put down, there's a little some kind of weird energy behind those kind of friendly tone. So that way, if that's something cause you self-doubt, if you cause you confusion, then you should be careful, right?
True.
And the second thing is what, like, the big sign is that before you guys know each other very well or for a period of time, and then you started to be like, oh my God, somebody gave you a big promise. Maybe they're just getting excited. That could be. Things didn't go very well on their side. Yeah, that could be. But a lot of time when they overly promise, that is a huge red flag. I think that can be applied not just to business, not just to this entrepreneurial journey, but also in relationship as well.
True. Yes. Very true.
Yeah. So if somebody overly promise, that's a big red flag.
Absolutely.
But I'm not saying like, Do not say no to all those opportunities because they could turn out to be an opportunity.
Absolutely.
However, we need to understand like when to say yes, when to say no, to protect our time and energy, and also to protect our kindness and trust, right?
Yep. Very true.
Yeah, so I think that's like great point for us to be aware. And also over the time you build up your intuition. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, I now do wanted to give a hard time to you as like somebody who, let's say I would pretend myself who is somebody who trying to hire you or work with you. And you showed me a piece of your work. I loved it. I definitely already overly promised like, oh my God, I really wanted to work with you. I have this big event and can get, you know, also be paid for a lot of money. But no, actually, I take that back. So this big event is really great. We need some amazing DJ just like you. So the thing is, like, you can get a lot of credit. You can get a lot of reputation and exposure. But we don't, you know, like a lot of people are going to fight for this spot. So don't have a big budget to pay for this role. However, it is a great opportunity for your future path. How would you deal with this?
I have a couple answers to that. I would say it really depends. When you're first starting out, whatever it is that you're doing, opportunities can be really awesome, especially like if you really don't know that much and you feel that you're going to learn a lot and it will benefit your career. For me at this point, in that scenario, if it was like a huge event, and they're like, you know, we're going to pay you like $50 or something. And there's going to be like hundreds of people. No matter like who's going to be there, how many cameras. In that scenario, I would definitely say no.
Okay.
I think everybody has their own style. I definitely have friends and know people who would say yes. But for me, my philosophy with that, especially like now that I'm really kind of in my lane with what I'm doing, it just wouldn't make sense, you know. You could think of any career, like, you know, a doctor, a teacher, a baker. Why would they put their time and their talent into something for? Be like, oh, you know, like the prime minister's, you know, gonna come to your shop. You want to give them some free stuff? It's like, yeah. I mean, that sounds awesome, but like more likely than anything, you know, that person just wants it and they're not going to tell everybody about it. They're just thinking that it would benefit them. So I would say for me, when I started out, yeah, I would do that sometimes. It was worth it. At this point, no. But with producing, it can be a little more complicated. Like my approach with music production is, in terms of like instrumentals, the main way that I make money from making music is I'll make instrumentals and then I actually sell them through emails. So I have these emails that I made and I'll remake them every couple of months too once I sell the the beats that I was setting before. And when I meet a new artist in real life, online, wherever, I send them the emails and then I tell them that I'm selling them. But in terms of actually working with people, what I do and have done with a lot of artists in the past is we'll just like split. So we'll be like, we'll work on this together evenly, and then we'll be like co-owners. We'll put it out, you know, together as a duo. And then in that case, you know, it's more of like a, yeah, like a 50-50. But as a producer too, and what I'm trying to do more of as well is like session work. So working with people that I don't really know, and if they needed some vocals recorded or they needed a little help with their production, being like, oh yeah, okay, you can hire me for an hour, whatever. So yeah, there's different approaches you can take, and it really depends on the scenario, what exactly you're doing. I think the key is just making sure there's a fair agreement. Like with me, with working with some of the artists I've worked with, just being like 50-50,
right.
It's felt totally right, because just what I've gotten out of it in other opportunities and the work itself.
Mm.
And then other times, yeah, just kind of treating it more like work. And I think, yeah, and so if, you know, anybody here ever has an opportunity that they feel like would really benefit them, especially if you're starting out,
right?
You know, I'd say it helps a lot when you're starting out to take opportunities. But once you get more established, you have to be really firm on things, you know, and be like, you know, this is what my rate is. Like, there's no negotiation.
Yeah.
You know, who cares what it's going to lead you to? This is where I am now. Who cares about the future? What about the present? What am I getting right in this moment? So, but again, you know, just whatever feels right to you. You have to feel, by the time you finish your work, you're like, yeah, like that was, I gained something, whether it was like you made a good amount of money,
right,
or you made some money and you had a great time, or maybe you just had a great time and you found somebody else to do a show for. Just make sure that what you're doing, that you feel good about it and you feel like you're going to be growing in your career and your passion, and yeah.
Right. I really agree with that. I think sometimes when we get started, I have to say, sir, there are some lessons and experiences that are unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can hear with those insightful experiences or ideas from other people who've already experienced that, and then you can completely avoid those lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, because when we got started, we do not have any leverage, and we are looking for opportunities. And also, it takes some time and experiences and good and bad collaborations to figure out what our real price is, right?
True.
You have to find your price.
And then
you also have to be able to really have some experiences to understand who is good to work with, and who are probably just waste of time.
Yeah.
But like, free work is good, especially when you get started. But then I think being able to understand your value, and then understand that, oh, I would say a lot of times when we wanted to provide free work to for this opportunity, we know that. But if somebody come to you and say, hey, we have this and that, and then we want your free work, then that is a good sign that you probably wanted to be careful of your energy.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Yes.
Well said.
Right. Like, well, the show goes very fast. I think Andy has a lot of good stories to share. We probably wanted to invite him back to continue some of his lessons, because we really know that he does not just good at making music and also being producer and getting to this industry where he finds his talent is, but also a lot of lessons and principles that he share become very philosophical and also realistic and down to earth that can be applied to business negotiation, and also to entrepreneurship. That's where I would say help with people who just like confused, right? Is there any other things that at the end you wanted to share with our audience for today?
I would say, yeah, just, you know, follow your passion. You also put in everything that you have plus more, you know. It's easy to be lazy or to put things off. but the only way to achieve your dreams, because they are achievable, they are feasible, but the only way that you're going to do it is if you put in, you know, everything you've got all the time, and you never, it's not to say you can't take breaks, but you just got to, do everything you can. And then as far as myself, the other thing I've started to do is teaching music production and DJing. So if anybody needs a teacher,
Like can you tell our audiences how can people sign up?
Yeah, so to get in contact with me, I think I've made all my socials relaxed. Like the same. I know Instagram, TikTok is Andy Davis Official. That would probably be the best way, would be Instagram. Yeah, Andy Davis. It's phonetic. A-N-D-Y-O-F-F-I-C-I-H-L on Instagram or TikTok.
Right.
Facebook. If you're on Facebook, I might accept a couple of friend requests if it doesn't look fake.
Yes, and for rappers and singers looking for beats, what's the best way to hire you to build their song?
I would say, the same thing. I haven't made anything like super technical. I'm just hey, if you want to work, if you want to lock in, if you want a producer, if you want me to make some sounds for you, whatever, just hit me on Instagram and we'll chat.
Okay, thank you so much for joining our show today. And actually, for the next show, we have Jacob, and he's going to share a lot of concerts that's happening in Vancouver. And maybe you should connect with him. And also, I know that he works in the venue. There's a lot of opportunities. And also, that would be all the time we have for today. And a huge thanks to Andy for joining us and breaking down the art of the creative negotiator. You can follow his work on Instagram and TikTok at Andy Davis Official, AndyDavisOfficial. A special shout out to our lovely staff here at CJSF for making this broadcast possible. 感谢大家的收听。如果你在跨境商务、跨文化交流，或者说英语提升当中遇到挑战，欢迎加主页工作号进行商务咨询。我们下周再见。Stay tuned. Jacob's Music Show is coming up next, and this is CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain. I'm Charlotte, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you. Ta-ta.
Yeah. If you leave me, baby, say you won't be back. That would be the end of me, 'cause I'd have a heart attack. You better get some insurance on me, baby. Take out some insurance on me, baby. 'Cause if you ever, ever said goodbye, I'm gonna haul right off. Get some insurance on me, baby. Take out some insurance on me, baby. But if you ever, ever said goodbye, I'm gonna haul right off and die. Darling,
client and get a paid life on me. You don't know me, baby, like I know myself. I couldn't live if you should give all your love to someone else. You better get